returning, as we have been for the last several Sunday nights, to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, and we'll read the first two verses. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I stop reading there and ask the Lord to help us as we look into his word. Our Father, we do thank you for your mercy to us. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people. We thank you for their desire to come and meet with you in meetings like this. And we thank you that you're faithful to be here. You're faithful by your Spirit to take your word and teach it to our hearts. We know that you're the only one who can do that. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts tonight and help us to see something of the glories of the salvation that you have provided through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That you might draw praise from those who know you, repentance from those who don't. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're spending some time on Sunday night in this 50th chapter of Isaiah, a chapter that is incredibly rich and deep in its message, in the waters that run here in this chapter. We've been looking in verse 2 at these four questions that God asked the nation of Israel. As Pastor Kelly taught us over the years, God doesn't ask questions because he needs answers. He asks questions because we need answers. He asks questions for our benefit. He asks questions to cause us to stop and to think and to study his word so that we might think his thoughts after him. These four questions, as we've been thinking about them, reveal the condition of the nation of Israel when God sent his servants, the prophets, to them. And then they reveal the condition of heart looking into the future, the condition of heart of the nation when the Messiah would come, when God would send his only Son, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the final question of verse 2. The Lord asked, have I no power to deliver? Have I no power to deliver? And in answer to that question, the Lord takes his people back to two places where he demonstrated his power to deliver. The first place that he takes them is to the Red Sea. He said, behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. We saw that last week in Exodus chapter 14. And I'd like for us to turn back there again, if you would, to Exodus chapter 14, because there's something here in these verses, an application that I think is important for us to see, to think about. It's something that we didn't have time to look at last week, and so I'd like for us to think about it tonight for a few minutes. Moses told the people of Israel in verse 13, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And in verse 21 we read, "And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. Have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea." In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 2, the Lord takes these people back to the place of the greatest demonstration of his power to deliver them. He takes them back to the deliverance that he provided them from the slavery and bondage of Egypt through the blood of the Passover lamb, and the defeat of the enemy that had held them in bondage. God did not just deliver the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. He destroyed the one who had held them there. He destroyed the one who had made them to serve with rigor. We read that in Exodus chapter 1. A word that describes the serving, the servitude of Israel. That word rigor means harshness and cruelty. The Lord destroyed the one who made them serve with that harshness and cruelty. The Lord destroyed the one who made their lives bitter with hard bondage. He destroyed Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt. And this is the place, the point in time where the Lord brings his people in answer to the question, have I no power to deliver? And that's significant for you and me tonight, because that question takes us back to the place of the greatest demonstration of God's power to deliver us, the cross of Calvary. There are so many pictures of the cross. There's so much truth about God's power to deliver us as we think about Israel's deliverance from Egypt. The cross of Calvary is the place where Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. It's the place where God provides deliverance from the slavery and the bondage of sin through the blood of the Lamb of God. But God did something else at the cross that's pictured for us here. Last week we talked about the place where God put the children of Israel. He put them in a place of distress. He put them in a place where behind them was Pharaoh and his armies. Pharaoh, the one who had made the lives of the children of Israel bitter with hard bondage. This was the man that was behind the people. And he was coming to take them and put them back into bondage. That was his plan. We see there in verse 5, it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this? Why have we done this that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He was going out to get them. That's what was behind the people of Israel. Ahead of them was the Red Sea. The Red Sea. And so here they are in this set of circumstances. Here they are in this hard place with Pharaoh behind them. Pharaoh and his armies behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And what I'd like for us to consider tonight that we didn't have time to consider last week is that as we look at this scene in Exodus chapter 14, is that at Calvary, God put his only begotten Son in the exact same place where Israel was in Exodus chapter 14. At Calvary, behind the Lord Jesus, indeed, encompassing the Savior, was not Pharaoh and the armies of Egypt, but the devil and the powers of darkness. We read about them in Psalm 22, the crucifixion psalm. And I'd like for you to turn over there, if you'd like, to Psalm 22. Psalm 22, and we want to read in verse 12, or beginning in verse 12. "Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths." Notice the next words. "As a ravening and a roaring lion." Now look at verse 16. "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." The words we want to notice in verse 16 are the words, "the assembly of the wicked." The assembly of the wicked. That's not only a reference to the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees, the people of Israel who were gathered there in Pilate's judgment hall. It's certainly a reference to them. But over and above that, it's a reference to the devil and the powers of darkness that enclose the Lord Jesus. Just as Pharaoh and his army sought to enclose the children of Israel there in Exodus chapter 14. In verse 21, the cry of this suffering one is, "Save me from the lion's mouth. Save me from the lion's mouth." So in verse 12, we have this reference to a ravening and a roaring lion. In verse 16, we have the assembly of the wicked. And in verse 21, we have this reference to the lion's mouth. The devil, the one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, was at the cross of Calvary. And so was the assembly of the wicked. The principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's the assembly of the wicked. Paul writes about them in Ephesians chapter 6. And they were there at the cross. And the attitude and the desire of the heart of the devil and the assembly of the wicked toward the Lord Jesus in that hour is the same as that expressed by Pharaoh toward the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 9. Let's turn back there. Let's go back to our passage there. Exodus chapter 15 is where we want to look in verse 9. Exodus 15 is the song of the redeemed of the people of God. And notice what the song is in verse 9. The enemy said, that's Pharaoh. Pharaoh and his armies, but the leader of that army was Pharaoh. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied not upon them, but upon him at the cross of Calvary. That was the cry of Satan and the assembly of the wicked. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy again, not them, but him. But him. Pharaoh and his armies. Here in Exodus chapter 14, I believe, are a picture of the devil and the assembly of the wicked that gathered at the cross. But that's not all. It's not all that faced the children of Israel. What lay before them was the Red Sea. It's not all that faced the Lord Jesus. Before him lay the waters of death. The waters of death. Behind him was the devil. The devil and the forces of hell. What lay before him were the waters of God's judgment against our sin. And so here's the Lord Jesus Christ in the exact place at Calvary that Israel was here in Exodus chapter 14. And the only way through those waters was for him to make a way. The only way through the waters here of the Red Sea was for God to make a way. The only way through the waters of death was for the Lord Jesus Christ to make a way. Look again at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. It's been a great blessing to my heart to come to this portion of Scripture and study it again. Coming here from the question there in Isaiah chapter 50, have I no power to deliver? There are three words in this 21st verse that I'd never noticed before. The three words are all that night. All that night. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. God divided the waters all that night. The waters of the Red Sea were divided all that night. It was in the night that God made the dry ground in the midst of the sea. We won't take time to turn to it, but in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 3, We read some very prophetic and some very precious words. We read there, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Those are prophetic words. They happened to Jonah. But they are prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. "All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." That happened in the night. That happened in those 3 hours of darkness on the cross of Calvary, when the Lord Jesus was forsaken by God because he was made sin for us. Because God laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And because all the billows and all the waves, all wonderful word, important word to consider when we are studying the Word of God. We were thinking about that word this morning when Daniel told Belshazzar that he knew all of these things, all of them. That message conveyed a message of judgment. Here, the word "all" conveys a message of salvation. Because all the billows and all the waves of God's judgment against our sin passed over the Lord Jesus Christ in those 3 hours of darkness, when the night was over, the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished." When the night was over on the third day, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, the tomb was empty. Because God had raised him from the dead. And in the light of that day, we look and the waters of death have been divided. The waters of death have been divided, and now there is dry ground through those waters. And when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, he puts us on that dry ground. Psalm 40 in verse 2, "He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." When we trust him as our Savior, he puts us on that dry ground. But the Lord did something else on the cross. Keep your place here and turn over in the New Testament to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. There's a verse here that we mentioned last week, but we'll look at it tonight. Turn to it, look at it. And if you've never marked it in your Bible, you may want to do that, because it's a very precious verse. Now, I should have told you to keep your finger stuck back there at Exodus chapter 14. So if you want, we want to be able to find both of these passages for a minute. So you got plenty of fingers. So stick one of them back there in Exodus chapter 14, and we want to look back there in just a minute. But look at Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Now notice these next words. "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them." Have I no power to deliver? Here's the answer to that question. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, hold your finger here and look back at Exodus chapter 14 and verse 26. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. I think that beside these verses in Exodus 14, you can write Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And beside these verses in Hebrews chapter 2, you can write Exodus chapter 14, verses 26 through 28. Folks, God did not just deliver us from the bondage of sin and death through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God on the cross of Calvary. He also destroyed, powerful word, he also destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. That through death, he might deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He destroyed the one who had held us. He destroyed the one who took us captive at his will, the one whose lusts and desires we carried out, the one who made us serve with rigor, the one who made us serve with harshness and cruelty and made our lives bitter with hard bondage. The one whose spirit worked in our disobedient hearts every day to carry out his desires. The Lord Jesus Christ, through his death, destroyed the devil. He bruised his head, as we read in Genesis 3:15. His power's broken. He's a defeated foe. And if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior tonight, we can look as the children of Israel did, and I did it again. I didn't even stay there myself, but we can look tonight exactly as the children of Israel did in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 30. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. With that question in Exodus 50 and verse 2, God takes his people back to the place where he delivered them in a very miraculous way. He takes them back to the place where he delivered them from the bondage of Egypt through the blood of the Passover lamb, and destroyed the one whose desire it was to keep them in bondage. And with this same question, he takes us, if we know him as our Savior, he takes us back to the place where he delivered us in a miraculous way. He takes us back to the cross of Calvary, where he delivered us from the bondage of sin and death through the blood of Christ, our Passover, who was sacrificed for us, and destroyed the one who had the power of death, the devil. No wonder the hymn writer wrote that song, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Do you know him tonight? If you know him, want to talk next week, Lord willing, about living victoriously for the Lord here in this world. And that's the second place that the Lord takes his people to in this question. Have I no power to deliver? He took them first to the Red Sea. And he took them there first because that's where salvation begins. There, when we're delivered from Egypt through the blood of the Lamb, through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross that bought our redemption and destroyed the devil. That's where salvation begins. But then after we're saved, he's going to take us to another place. He's going to take us to the River Jordan. And we're going to see a different enemy there. A different enemy, another enemy that has to be dealt with. If you know him as your Savior tonight, are you living victoriously? Are you rejoicing in him? Are we offering to him the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for what he's done for us? We read these words and we think about these things and we can't really get our minds around them. But we can praise the Lord for what he's done. If you're lost tonight, you haven't experienced the deliverance from the bondage of sin and death. You can. If you'll humble your heart and turn from your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust him to be your Savior. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. Oh, the treasures that are here. Oh, the regret that we're going to feel one day when we stand before you for how little time we spent in your word. The regret that we're going to feel as we think about the time that we wasted in doing things that really don't really make much difference in the light of eternity. We pray that you would give us a love for your word. As someone said to me this week, a passion for Jesus. We pray that we might have that in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.